Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from NAM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about how to master the art of relocation from preparation to settling down. And we're talking to Laura McComb, who is the co-founder, director of marketing and chief of organized living at North Star Moving Company, which is the moving company to the stars. Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Thank you for coming and joining me. I think I'm very excited about today's topic. But first of all, I would like to learn a little bit more about you. So do you mind introducing yourself?
I had a very unlikely start for a co-founder of a moving company. I'm an attorney by trade. I went to UC Berkeley and to Oxford in England and studied computer law and Santa Clara, which is in the Silicon Valley. I worked for Fortune 500 companies like Intel and Atari, and always wanted to do something more on my own and more entrepreneurial, and wanted to do something in the service industry. When I was getting my degree at Berkeley, which was in cognitive neurological psychology, which is the study of learning and memory and stressors in people's life, we looked at what are the things that are the most stressful for people. And moving is right up there, because not only is moving itself a stressful event, but also the act of moving is always accompanied by another stressful event. You're either changing jobs, or you're changing your education, you're going somewhere else, or you're downsizing, or you've lost someone in your family, or you're gaining somebody in your family. And so all of those life changes in and of themselves are stressful, and then you add moving on to it. So it seemed like the perfect opportunity that was really looking for a solution that would make something less stressful and really take care of people and be of service. And so that's why we started North Star Moving over 27 years ago now. And we've grown to do about 8,000 to 10,000 moves a year. And we're lucky enough to count within our client list Angelina Jolie and Eva Longoria and Anthony Hopkins and oh my gosh, I could go, Diana Ross, I could keep going on and on, Miss Piggy, because we moved the Jim Henson studios, Dick Clark Productions, America's Next Top Model. I mean, I could keep going.
Amazing.
We have a very, very lovely, I always say joke that our client list would make the best top Hollywood agent green with envy. We're located here in Los Angeles. So you can all figure that that's a good place to be if you're moving stars. And we have a franchise up in San Francisco in the Bay Area. And we also have an office in Phoenix, Arizona, Scottsdale, and also in Austin, Texas. So from a little, beginning, we've come quite a ways, and we're proud of that. And we've won more awards for service than any other moving company in the States. So we're very proud of that, too. We've won them for our green practices, for our service, for our growth, for our community involvement. We really feel strongly about giving back to the community and are very involved with organizations such as Mary's List, which helps recent refugees get settled into the country, and just on and on and on. I could keep going. You could tell it's my passion. So I hope
that's amazing.
What you needed.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, very unlikely start, but sounds like, you found something that really works for you that, really fulfills you as well.
It does. It's something that I really didn't think I was going to love it as much as I do. And as the company keeps growing, my interest keeps growing. And as our involvement in the community keeps growing, that really feeds me. We have an annual food drive every year that is really a big passion project. There's a and just other, you know, things that we can do to give back, because we've been very, very fortunate. And it's nice to be in the position to help others.
Yeah, it's always great to find a job and a career that, you know, you continue to love and you learn new aspects to love as you go. Because often, you know, you've been in a job for a few years and you're like, oh, kind of hate this now.
Yeah, it happens, right? It does happen to the best of us. But and that's why you move. So
exactly, full circle,
the reason why people move. Yeah.
Yes. But before we get onto the topic of moving, I'd like to do a section called Have You Met Laura, where we get to know you through some of your favorite things. So the first thing I'd like to know is, what is your favorite book?
Ooh. Okay. So I love anything by Margaret Atwood, but less likely and more peculiar, but still a favorite, is I love the book From A to B to Back Again by Andy Warhol. And the reason why I love that book is that he talks about people's peculiar habits and how they shape them. And one of the sections is about how people handle money. And some people are very organized with their money and they put them in order, like of domination, of, you know, the 20s first, then the 10s and the 5s, whatever. And it's all very neat and tidy. He said he preferred to keep his money crumbled up and thrown in a paper sack. And that was the way he lived with his money. But I think what's interesting is when we look at people's habits, then we can also look at how do they express themselves in the world, right? And how do they go about handling this thing that we all do every day, which is living. And so I think it's a very fun read, and it's pretty insightful, I think.
I think that Andy Warhol's description of how he handles money is exactly how I expected him to handle his money.
Right, exactly. And we said that he liked to take his paper bag late at night into drugstores, which are like pharmacies, and just buy random things, just random small bizarre things with his money. And that was his favorite way to spend money. And I was just like, okay, that's a lot of junk.
That's great. Thank you. And have you enjoyed any movies recently?
Yes. I really, really enjoyed Barbie, much to my surprise. I don't know if have you seen it?
Yes.
So it's really unexpected.
Has anyone not seen it at this point?
That's true. Yeah. So I thought it was great because it redefines roles several different ways. And it's a great way that actually shows women empowerment and feminism in action and the backlash that occurs and also the challenges. And I just found it incredibly refreshing and fun. And I think we learn better. And we learn more when we're able to laugh and we're able to see the humor in a situation. So I thought it was just so much fun and so insightful.
I think that it's a really important, I guess, step and I guess brick to, you know, building up lots more movies, lots more conversations about these topics. You know, it's not the right. be all and end all, but one really important step.
Right. And part of what my work at Restore Moving has done for me is it's propelled me into, I do a lot of public speaking for women. The former mayor of Los Angeles had me speak at International Women's Entrepreneur Day and representing Los Angeles. And so women's empowerment and women business owners is very key to me too, because I feel like we can make a big difference and change things if we're, I'm a little more power.
Yeah. I definitely think that, I saw a study a while ago, more people named John or something than there are women in business, something like that.
And oh, no.
It's amazing. Not amazing, but crazy, terrible that, you know, women are so underrepresented in businesses. And
2023, where have we been, right?
I know. So thank you for that. And do you listen to any podcasts?
I do. I listen to, right now I'm almost finished with all of them, so I hope she drops some more, is Julia Louise Dreyfus's Wiser Than Me, where she interviews women who are older than she is and asks them about their experiences in life. I don't know if you've listened to it. It's great. The other one that I've been listening to is Smartless with Justin Bateman and Will Arnett and Sean Hayes. They interview people, various actors, and it's just silly and fun. And in LA, you spend a lot of time in your car, so it's good to have something to keep you laughing. And it does.
Interesting. Thank you for those recommendations. And do you have a role model?
I know it's corny, but my parents were both really spectacular people. So I looked to them when they were both living. But also, I'm very fond of Jane Fonda. And the reason I am is that she completely reinvents herself and she still stays relevant. And gosh, I don't even know how old she is now, but she's still out there making a difference. And, you know, I think she's done a lot for the women's movement. And I think she's also done a lot for women business owners and for just in terms of keeping fit, all the way from her fitness goals to her political views and her activism. So I think she's pretty spectacular.
Yes, I know a little bit about her. Not so much, but yeah, she seems like an amazing person.
Yeah. She's a little bit controversial here, but that's okay with me.
Okay. No one's perfect.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And have you completed any courses that have inspired you?
Oh, I did a lot of school. I really loved school. I went to undergrad and I went to grad and I did postgrad and law school. I loved art history, which is not at all what my majors were in. But I took a lot of it enough that I had a secondary minor. And the reason why I did love it is that I think part of organized living and part of our drive for that is because we're in search of the aesthetic, right? We're wanting to keep our life beautiful and we're trying to make things calm and organized. And I think looking at that through the art history lens is a very good way to see how people have chosen their interiors and their surroundings to reflect inner and outer beauty.
Interesting. I've never thought about art history like that. I'm going to have to think about that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
That's okay. It was a lot of memorization to art history, which is also kind of fun, but yeah.
Memorization was never my thing.
it's a good game.
So speaking of art history, you mentioned home organization. How do you define home organization?
I think that home organization really is about never having to look for something. And it's one of my absolute pet peeves. I hate wasting time, and I hate wasting time looking for something that I should be able to easily put my fingers on. And then if your home is organized, not only are you able to go immediately to something, if the organization is well thought out enough, anybody visiting your home or living with you can also figure out where something goes or where something should be. So, I have assistants in my home that help me and a housekeeper, and I'm very fortunate with the amount of help I have, but I want them all to be able to understand how things are organized so that you know, there's a place for everything and everything in its place. So to me, that's what organization is. And it's more, I want to stress again that it's really someone else being able to look at it and go, oh, her spices are in alphabetical order. I get it. So I know where cloves are. It's going to be after cayenne, you know? So
that's actually so true.
Yeah.
That's so good because, like, I do remember going to my friend's house and I think things were organized, but as you said, like spices, I was like digging through the whole cupboard because it didn't make sense how they had them to me. But it made sense to them. And so I guess that's the two different sides, which is home organization for yourself, but home organization so that anyone else coming into your home can also know where everything is.
Yes.
Interesting. And I guess that also makes sense because what we're going to be talking about today is moving. And, you know, when you're moving, you do have quite a few people coming into your home and maybe helping you pack or helping you move things. So how do you define moving?
So moving is one of those things that I think most people mistakenly define as the actual day when stuff is picked up and transported from point A to point B. To me, moving is really much more than a singular point on the timeline. It's a continuum because there's so many things that need to happen prior and after to actually make a move occur. You need to change all your addresses. You need to set up new utilities. You need to, you know, we can get into all of that, but there's so many things that need to happen in order to take a life that's really well functioning someplace, along with the kids' lives and the pets' lives and the spouse's lives, and move it, all of it, and all of those, you know, soccer practices and new schools and doctor appointments, and move that to another location. So it's really about getting the whole life of all the beings in the home transplanted from point A to B, and that's takes more, way more than one day to do.
I'm actually moving myself soon, and I totally understand when you say moving's not just one day. I've been thinking about this for a month or so, and I'm going to be thinking about this for several months after this. But I totally forgot the utilities were a thing I had to think about.
Yeah, make sure you've got Wi-Fi at the new home, and
Yep. Oh gosh, I'm going to have to write a list myself, but this is perfect.
Well, we have a checklist. We have a checklist on our website that'll help you.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah.
We'll make sure we put those in the show notes so that I can find them later when I need it.
Yeah, it's a moving calendar. Yeah.
Perfect. I guess, can you run me through, you know, maybe from the beginning, the stages of moving and maybe what you need to think about at each stage?
Well, it depends on how far back you want to go. I think the beginning of moving is what is the reason why you're moving, right? So you mm-hmm. start with that, and then where you're moving to. And let's assume, I'm assuming that we've come into the story when you've already found the place you're moving to.
Yeah.
Should we start there? Because mm-hmm. otherwise you have to go way back into the search, right? So you found your new home, but you're not there yet. So I think one of the things that will really behoove you to do is to go into your new home and to measure everything, measure all the walls, measure the closets, measure and make yourself as if little paper dollhouse, if you will, where you go back home to your old home and you measure everything there and you say, hey, is that sofa or couch really going to fit in that room where I think it's going to go? Is this going to really fit? And do a little floor plan so that you're ready to go. So that's one thing. The other thing that's really critical is to decide what things aren't moving with you. If you're already organized and you are already at a point where you've donated to all the charities, all the things that you're not using, that you've recycled all the things that you need to recycle, that you've returned all the pots and pans that you've borrowed from the neighbors, if you're already to that point, good on you, but chances are you aren't. And so that's a very big sorting process. So I would spend weekends, you know, be a weekend warrior, and spend some time going through each and every closet and deciding, am I keeping this? Am I donating this? Am I moving this? You know, you don't want to be in a position where you're moving the dress that you wore in high school that you're never going to wear again, right? And why pay for a mover to move it? Why take up closet space with it? You know, let's give it to a charity where somebody else can love that dress as much as you did. And why do you need 500 spatulas? You know, you probably only need two or three. So let's sort through. And so I think that really weeding out what is moving and what isn't moving, that's critical for getting ready. So I would think those are the initial steps, measuring, seeing how much space you have, really sorting through what goes, what stays, what gets recycled, what gets upcycled, what gets sold at a garage sale or yard sale, what gets returned to its rightful owner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, so after you've kind of whittled down your things, and, you know, what's the next step after that? Would that be, you know, contacting electricity, internet, or is that a bit later?
It depends on how far in advance you are starting. I think people always start a little too late. I think you should start about 2 months prior so that you have really a good time to go through and sort out that stuff so that you're not sorting through as you're unpacking in your new home. You know, everything that comes out of that box, you want it in that new house. It's not going instantly somewhere else. So, it depends on if you're single or if you have children and you need to contact schools and you need to get medical records and you need to get kids enrolled in new schools, and maybe they're in soccer now and you are football now, and you want them to be in their new home also in those kind of activities. So you need to do research on, where are those leagues, sports leagues that you want your kids to be involved in? Where's the after school, fun hobbies, whatever that they do, so that you can have them start to feel like they're home too, because it's really important that your kids feel comfortable and have ways to make new friends in their new environment. So you want to start doing those kind of things. You also want to do those things for yourself. Where is the dry cleaner and the post office and the all your shoe repair or whatever you need in your new location? And you also want to check, hey, do I have anything at the dry cleaner at my old location or the shoe repair that I don't want to leave there because I'm going to be 500 miles away? So I want to make sure that I pick up all those things.
That's so true. I don't have dry cleaning because walking to the dry cleaners is way too much of a hassle. But yeah, I can totally imagine myself like taking like a library book and moving across the country and being like, oh no, my library book.
Right. Right. So, and that's part of why that sorting through is important. Like, this actually is not my book. Right. So,
yes. Okay. Thank you. So after you've found all the new places, you know, your new dry cleaners, your new library, your new gym, is that the point where you book in your moving day and you say, I'm going, or are there other steps as well?
I think that I would call a moving company as early as possible to ask them, because how it works in moving is, if you think of moving companies as like airlines, so rates are higher on the weekends than they are during the week, and they're higher in the, for us, it's the summer months when school's out. So whenever school's out, the rates go up because more people move then. So you want to book and if you have a particular day, like your escrow is closing on your new home or your lease is starting, you want to make sure that you are out when you need to be out and in when you need to be in. So to book those dates in advance, so I would do that. And I would also, we could talk about this later about how you need to research who you actually choose as a mover. And I have lots of steps for that. But let's say you've done that, you've done your homework, which is critical, and you book them. And then I would take a look at how are things organized in my old home, and do I like them the way they are? So let's say you have a bookshelf that you're really proud of, the way you've sort of set it all up, and it's got your knickknacks and it's got your books just the way you want it. We do something that's called photo perfect packing, where you take a picture of exactly how things are packed or how they're set up now, so that you can mimic that in your new home and you don't have to rethink it. It's a short step. So a little, it's easy to do that. And then you should start packing the things that you want to pack. You can hire a moving company to pack absolutely everything for you, which is great. Or if you prefer to do some of it yourself, begin packing it up. But as you're packing, make sure that you're using the correct materials for the type of thing that you're packing. Make sure you're packing things in the correct way. And make sure that you're labeling everything that's going into the box. And you can either take a photo diary with your cell phone of what's going into each box, and or make a list, if you're more visual, or however your brain works, right? So that you keep things really organized about what goes into each box. Because what happens is things stay in cardboard boxes much longer than one expects them to. Mm-hmm. And to find something, like you think, all Rembrandt's in that box. Well, you probably won't, actually, because there's going to be 50 other boxes that look just like that one at the end of the day. So that's something. But do you want me to talk a little bit about packing things?
Because yes, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. So with packing, for example, before I owned a moving company, I did not know how to pack dishes properly. I thought I had moved all through college myself. I thought I was quite expert. But how I always packed boxes of dishes where I would stack them on top of each other. I mean, I would wrap each one and I would stack them. And that actually is a good way to make sure your dishes break. What's recommended instead is that you pad the bottom of the carton or the box with soft wrapping paper, and then you pack them vertically, standing on their edge.
Huh.
Which is completely, which is like, boom, like I didn't, you know, a little mind blowing to me. But when you think about the dynamics of it, you're not putting all the weight on one given plate. You're spreading it out and you're separating them and you're dispersing that weight. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure so you pack plates like that. And then the other thing that's really, really, truly important for packing a box or a carton is to make sure the box itself is really well filled. Like there's no empty areas, because so you can stuff crumbled up newspaper or other paper, soft paper in the boxes, but make sure everything is tightly, tightly packed, because where other damages occur is when the carton is stuck on top of the box, then that causes the bottom box to collapse and the things in it to shift and to break. So if that box, if there's nowhere for anything to go in that bottom box, it's much more secure. And then you can stack up higher boxes, because that's what's going to happen inside the moving truck, right? Is things are going to get stacked. So, and you can look on our website. We have lots of videos on how to pack items. We also have what type of materials you want to use to pack things. All of our items we look for, because we're a green company, are 100% recyclable, made out of recyclable materials. We don't use bubble wrap because it's a petroleum product. We use EcoBubble because it biodegrades. So there's all these different things that you can get to make sure your move is as green as possible too.
And I have a little tip there as well, for packing. Find your local shops and see if they have like spare boxes, spare packing material that they're throwing out. I work in a pharmacy and we throw out so many boxes every day. And that's where I've been getting all my packing boxes, is I just say, hey, can I have 50 boxes? Not 50, 20 boxes. And they just give them to me for free.
I would caution you against that though.
Why?
Because some of those boxes may not be strong enough to actually hold up. It depends on what kind of boxes you're getting, mm-hmm. but some boxes are very thin on the mm-hmm. outside, where moving boxes, the kind of corrugation that they have actually helps protect your items because they're sturdier and mm-hmm. they aren't going to collapse. So if you have a flimsier box, you're going to end up with the same kind of a problem you have if you have a underpacked box, which means that a box colliding from the side or from the top could crush your box. So I would give you a little bit of caution about being careful about which boxes you choose.
Okay. In that case, do that if you can check the boxes beforehand.
Yes.
I have a feeling that the boxes I've been using are not suitable, but I already have them. And I'm not moving very far.
Maybe you could double box them, like put a box in a box.
I haven't thought about that. I'll think about it.
Okay.
But I mean, even with like packing materials, as well, like things like paper and things, I know that, the pharmacy has those as well. So I think a lot of other shops have those things, which you can get for free.
Yeah, the packing materials are great. Yeah, that's great. Mm. You can also pop popcorn.
Popcorn. But then I'll want to eat it.
Yeah, a little bit for you, a little bit for the box.
Yeah. And then you can just throw it in the compost. That's great.
Yeah. Better than styrofoam peanuts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other, you know, tips you have for packing?
I think labeling, I can't stress labeling enough. We all think we're going to remember what's in this box as we're packing it. Well, I'm going to remember that grandma's china's in here with my, you know, whatever, but you're not. So I would label on the outside. I would make a label. If you're not going to be accessing the thing soon, I would make an inventory of that, of what's in the box, and at the very end, put that on the top. So when you open the box, there's the inventory. So you don't have to dig through all the paper that you've wrapped so carefully everything in to open everything up to look for a particular whatever. So that's something I would do. The other thing that I think is important is you want to pack like with like as much as possible. That said, there are some items that are too heavy to pack like with like because you're going to break the box. So you need to spread those things out. Like book boxes have to be smaller. So if you think heavy items, smaller the box, right? So a box of books should be a small box because that's a heavy box. Whereas a box of linens could be a larger box because they're lighter in weight and will be easier to carry and easier to stack. So I would be careful on that. So label. And then the other thing that really people, I can't stress enough, there's things that you should not pack that you should keep on your person, like your passport and your valuables and coin collections, etc. Those things should be things that you are going to personally transport, that you're not going to let out of your hands or sight. And that's very critical to making sure those things arrive safely. In addition to that, I would pack for each family member a suitcase or an extra box for their first night in their new home. So you have for, you know, your daughter or son, you have their favorite teddy bear, you have their pillow, their nightlight. If they have medication, whatever medication they might have, their change of clothes for the next day, their pajamas, the things that you know that are going to make them feel like they've arrived home when those things are there. So, and that should be true for every single family member and every dog or cat or animal that you have. You should pack all of those things for them. And those particular boxes or suitcases should stay separate so that you can transport them at the end and they don't get mixed in with the plethora of everything else, right?
Mm-hmm. And what other than, you know, the essentials that you have to have for each person, like pajamas, what about like essentials just for daily living? For example, when we moved to Australia, I remember desperately searching through all the kitchen boxes for plates because we bought dinner and we couldn't find any plates or cutlery. But I think we found chopsticks.
There you go. yes, absolutely. In fact, we have a little video that talks about what to pack for your first night in your new home. And one of them is a box of things like paper towels, paper plates, although, you know, it's not very green, but when you're moving, there's a few, you know, you're going to take a little liberty, and some cutlery and knives and all of that, so that you actually, and maybe snacks. I think sometimes it's important to have, especially if you have kids, to have snacks, their favorite snacks in bags so you can get them readily as well. And that bag, and or actually probably more than one bag, stays with the suitcases that are going overnight. So that's your little corner that's just for you. And also some cleaning supplies. Sometimes you need a little, you know, I don't know the brand names in Australia, but we, you know, Windex or Ajax or something green, just an all-purpose cleaner so that you can clean off a tabletop so that you can have dinner, or you can clean off where you're moving from because you want to make sure that the next person finds it tidy.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, avoiding those for renters, avoiding those fees that they love to pop onto us right before we leave.
Right.
And is there something that, you know, people should be aware of that, you know, they often forget when they're moving?
Yes. One other thing that back to the night, the first night of the new home, you want to make sure your phone charger and some lights are also in that bag. I don't want to forget to mention that. But forgetting when you move, people often forget, which is very odd, things that are their garage. If they have rafters in their garage, you know, something up storage or an attic or a basement, or where they've put things away that they don't access very often. Sometimes they completely forget that they even have, like, things get busy and they walk through the house and the house appears empty, but they forgot to the fact that they haven't opened up the attic or gone down to the basement. So you need to make sure that you've made a list and checked all your rooms and mm-hmm. storage spaces, right? So that you don't forget things that way. The other thing that people forget is things that will really make it's really goes back to the packing that bag for the first night at home, like things that will really make you feel like you're at home. So if you're starting a new job, which I don't recommend the day after you move, I would give yourself a little more buffer than that. You want to make sure that you have your work clothes ready, that you're not going to have to dig through a box, that they're clean, that they're ready to go, that you have them where you can get to them so that you hit the ground running if you need to.
Yeah, I can see that being a big problem, particularly in your first day of work.
Right. Or, you know, you're sending the kid off to school to meet his new friends in his pajamas. Probably not the best try. You know, he'll be telling that traumatic story to his psychiatrist for years. So you probably want to...
So, you know, after you've moved in and, you know, you spend your first night there, how do you go about unpacking everything? Because that's the next big challenge.
Yes. So some moving companies will do that for you. And that's always grand if you can get that. And, you know, with packing and unpacking, you have so many other things to attend to. Why not let the moving company pack and unpack and move you? Like you can spend your time registering your kid for school or finding that better soccer field or what have you. But when you do get settled, you want to, I would set up, make sure that your bed and lights are set up first, and then your toiletries and your bathroom are set up, and then a few items in your kitchen. So once you get sort of your bed, your toiletries, a few items in your kitchen, assuming you're past that point and you've spent a night and you're okay, and you know, you've had your instant oatmeal in the morning and you're good to go, I would start with the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Except if I have kids. If you have kids, I would start with the kids' room, because you want to get them settled in first, so that they really start feeling at home and they start feeling comfortable, and that they don't have this feeling that they're living out of boxes, that they belong there, that this is a transition that's going to stay, that this place really does feel like home. So I would do your kids first, then I would do the kitchen. And just because I think that's sort of the heart of the house, right? So get that going. And I would do my own room after that, and then rooms like the den or the family room or living room further down the road. Hmm. Some people want to get that television up and running, so you could do that early on too.
Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting that you say, you know, your room before the living room. I think that I would do my bedroom the last, I guess.
You want to be able to get a good night's sleep. It depends on how much you want to, you know, you can, I don't ever want to have company the first day after I move anywhere. So, you know, if you're expecting the in-laws, then maybe the living room ought to be a little more tidy than it, you know. But
That's true. I think maybe because I see the bedroom just for sleep, and you just need a bed for that. You don't need anything else. Okay, interesting. And any other tips, you know, to, you know, make your living space feel a bit more like a home and not just a house?
After you move? I think that taking out your knickknacks, your favorite, you know, like for me, I have orchids always. So for me, getting my orchids in the right place would be important to me. So I think we all know those things that we feel are our personal signature and our way of making ourselves feel at home. And I would get those up, even if you have to move them a couple of times, because they're usually smaller, right? I would go ahead and get those out and up. So, you know, you could have a cardboard box with an orchid on the top. It's okay. But, you know, so you can settle in with that. If you've done your homework and you've done your little floor plan, your furniture should all be in the correct positions, and you don't need to do a lot of adjusting. You don't need to be trying to move your piano from room to room, because it turns out it doesn't really fit in that room, and you've got a sea of boxes that you have to navigate, plus the movers have already gone and now it's just you and, you know, whomever to try to move this big, heavy thing. So that floor plan really, really, and the paper furniture, it's really fun to do, is a great way to make sure the big anchor items, if you will, in a room are in the right place and ready to function.
That's great. I love that. I'm going to go to my new place. I'm going to measure it and I'm going to make some little paper furniture. I think it's so fun.
Yeah, and use graph paper, you know, use your little graph paper and cut everything to scale.
Perfect. Great.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'll have to do some decluttering to find my graph paper and then and then I can do this. And yeah, so we've discussed, you know, hiring a mover before, but is it worth, you know, hiring a professional mover? I know for my first move out of home, we did everything ourselves. So it was hard. I would probably hire a mover for the next one, but do you recommend it?
That's sort of hard. It's yes, of course I do. But I always laugh at like the evolution of moving is, you know, you move yourself the first time in a suitcase and whatever fits in your car, right? And then you get a little more stuff and you maybe rent a truck that helps you, that you, or you borrow a friend's pickup truck and you move things. And then you're a little further down and you rent a pickup truck and you get some friends and you pay them in beer and pizza to help you. But the problem with all of that is none of those people are experts and it's a good way to go. Depending on how often you move, your friends probably won't take your calls always if it's moving season for you. So I think to save your friendships and to also save your back and also to make sure that things are done properly and more efficiently, I would hire a mover. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, they do have lots of tips like how to pack those dishes and how to actually, you know, pack up a truck. Like when movers pack a truck, how much stuff they can get into it compared to an average Joe. It's really impressive if they know what they're doing. So it all goes down to making sure that the moving company that you choose has an excellent reputation, that they've been in business for years, that they know what they're doing, that they're not giving you, you're not basing your decision just on a low price, because that's not going to save you money in the long run. It really isn't. A reputation is going to save you money because no one gives somebody a 5-star rating if they feel like they were overcharged for a service, right? So a great reputation guarantees a good rate. And I would hire a mover, and because you also have lots of other things to do. You need to go find, you know, the schools, the system that you want to find. You need to be able to go meet the neighbors. You need to get things ready for those in-laws that are going to make their surprise appearance, whatever it is. So you can be a little more relaxed and able to integrate into the new neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. You can hire someone to move for you, but you can't hire someone to call the school to make sure that your kids are enrolled properly.
Actually, yes, correct.
Or you can hire it, but it's a bit harder than hiring a mover.
Yeah. We actually have luxury, eco luxury packages. We have, for example, Oprah Winfrey's own dog trainer will come in and train your dog in your new home. When we have a relationship with people who have goats, who will come and clean, the goats will come and eat the surrounding area around your house. And we have professional chefs who will come in and make your first meal so you don't have to eat pizza. And we have nanny services so that they'll babysit your kids. And we have concierge services that will make all those utility calls for you. And we partnered with a lot of really expert people to take care of all of those different aspects. But I think when it comes to your kids and finding schools, I think you're probably best making those judgment calls yourself.
Yeah. And I guess it depends on, you know, how much you can afford to spend on these services and whether they're needed. For example, I don't need a dog trainer because I don't have a dog.
Right. And I don't need goats. So as much as I would enjoy having goats around, I don't need goats. And as much as my dog would enjoy having goats around, I don't need goats.
Yeah. So. Okay, so we'll move on to the practices and habits section, and that's going to be a little bit different because hopefully you're not moving regularly. You know, something that you're doing just every once in a while. But what is a practice that you do or recommend before beginning a move?
A practice that I think is valuable in every aspect of your life is to be mindful. Mm-hmm. And by being mindful, that's partly you being organized, it's being kind, it's being thoughtful, it's preparation, it's knowing what you're really doing. So to think something all the way through, like to understand that moving isn't just a one-day event, to understand all the different aspects of what moving is. And so I think being mindful is truly a skill and a gift to be able to navigate life.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I sort of see this as, you know, you can be mindful and think through the process of, you know, moving before you move. But how is that different from like overthinking things and overdoing everything? Or is it not possible to overthink it?
I think it's always possible to overthink everything. And I think one of your best friends when you're an overthinker is a to-do list. Because that way, you know, you got it down. You don't have to keep rehashing it in your brain. It's written down on paper. You know what the steps are. You've decided, you know, you can go add things to that to-do list should you need to. It's a reference point back, and it's also a clearing place for your brain, right? You can sort of let everything out onto the paper. I love to-do lists, and I always... People laugh, and I've been doing this since university days, is I start my to-do list with wake up. I start my to-do list with wake up, and then it's, I used to be a coffee drinker, and now I'm a tea drinker, so drink tea. Mm-hmm. So I do that because I can check things off right away, and it gets me focused back on the fact that I have a list, and it makes me laugh every time we see wake up, like, ha-ha, I'm awake. Like, so I already feel like I've done something. So I have a sense of accomplishment because all I've done really is open my eyes. But I, you know, so I truly am a firm believer in a to-do list. And I think it does help the overthinking.
I love that. I'm going to start adding wake up on my to-do lists. I also like
It'll
adding
make you
the...
laugh. It'll just make you laugh. It'll just be...
You'll see me like, I'll like get out of bed and I'll be like, tick.
Yes. Exactly. I'm already on the path to success. Here I go. Yes.
Perfect. And so for mindfulness, how do you actually practice that? You know, can you give us maybe an example?
Well, this sounds very Californian, but it's true. I'm a meditator. So I meditate for an hour every day. So which is that's also part of my wake up, drink tea, meditate. But for me, that helps me stay mindful. And it also helps me not overthink things and to have a clarity of purpose and an ability to get an amazing amount of stuff done. People think, oh, I don't have time to meditate. You know what? You get more time when you meditate. It's like exercise. When people don't exercise and they think, how do I have time? I don't have time to exercise. When you're in the practice of exercising and when you're in the practice of being meditating, you find out you actually have more time and you have more ability to get things done because you don't stress about things that are not going to really impact a final result. So, mm-hmm. So that's part of how I stay mindful. Lists keep me mindful. Organization keeps me mindful for sure. Because I know that my environment is put together so I can stay calm and not worry about where something is or if I'm out of it or if I need more or if I don't need something because I know exactly what I have and what I don't have.
Interesting. So mindful kind of leads to organization and organization leads to mindfulness.
Yes, it does. It's a lovely little trick, isn't it?
Yeah, you just have to start. The hardest part is starting, I assume.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that's just, you just write that on your to-do list.
True. Be mindful.
Be mindful. Check. At least I am right now. You can sprinkle that one in periodically.
It could
occur, you know, 5 or 6 times on your daily to-do list if you need to.
I love that. So we're going to move on to the open mic section. So this is where you get a chance to talk about something that you're passionate about. And we've, you know, discussed this a little bit previously. So we're going to be talking about movers and how to find a good mover.
Sure. So I think a lot of people make the mistake of choosing a mover based on their rate, which I've already mentioned is probably not the best way to go about it, because they can have a practice of, we call lowballing, where they give you one rate and then they tell you, oops, I forgot to mention this, this, and this, right? So you want to avoid those circumstances. So some of the things to do is to ask friends and family who they've used before, who they've had a good experience with. So ask your inner circle, and then go out to social media sites and reputable social media sites. And then look for a moving company that's been in business for a long time, because it's very easy to have a good reputation if you've only been in business for 6 months and then something horrible happens and you close your doors and you reopen under another name and you start all over again. And unfortunately, that is a pattern that you see with unreputable businesses in all walks of life, but particularly in moving. So you want to look for that continual good service.
Okay, so you want to scroll through maybe the Google reviews and see that it's not just from, you know, 3 months, 6 months. You want to see some that's from like a year ago, from 2 years ago, or definitely friends and family who've used them in the past as well. Are there some other ways that you can, you know, find the reputations or find maybe the services that you need? Because as we were talking about before, I don't need a dog trainer. I don't need, I maybe need the basic level for moving. I also assume, you know, moving across the city versus across the state versus across the world is a bit different.
Right. You definitely should ask the moving companies what their service entail, and they should have that on your website. Our company moves you, we like to say, across the street or around the world. We will move you anywhere. And we also, our company is very bespoke. We will absolutely tailor your move to your needs. If you don't want a dog trainer, you don't need to have a dog trainer. And I don't have to have goats. So it's all whatever you need. And if you don't need any of that and you want to do most of it yourself, you can. Mm-hmm. And then we provide tips on how to do that. So I think it's a good way to make sure is that the company provides the services that you absolutely need is to make sure you know what you need, and then ask, check websites, check the letters of recommendation or the reviews that they mention moves that are similar to yours. If they're only talking about local moves and you're not moving locally, then maybe that's not the moving company for you. If there's some mentions of moving further away, then okay, maybe that is the company for me. So I think, again, being mindful, don't want to overuse that word, of who you're hiring is great. And make sure you check with the licensing organizations for the relocation and moving industry in your area, and make sure that the company is licensed and that they are insured and that they have all the proper paperwork, and that their paperwork matches their name and their name matches their address, and so that you're dealing with who you think you're dealing with. Mm. Another not so obvious way, I think, is to look at how a moving company is doing in the community. Are they giving back? Because that shows a level of commitment to the community, and two, it shows years in business, and three, it shows a level of caring. And chances are, if they care about the community, they're going to care about your move too and care about you. And if they don't have any interactions with a community, that I'm a little suspect of that. If people are able to make a decent living, and hopefully the moving company is, why aren't they giving back into a community that's giving to them all the time? So I that's always a criteria that I look for when I hire anyone, is what are they doing to make the world a better place? And chances are, if they're doing something, they probably will be mindful and kind with my interaction with them as well.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I haven't thought about that. And I guess that also, you know, that's not just for moving companies, that's for any company.
Yes. Absolutely.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Any other tips for how to find a mover?
I can't stress enough to go by reputation and years in business. I just can't. I think people always, well, this guy was, you know, a little bit cheaper. And in the long run, they end up costing you more money because they broke something or they didn't reveal all their rates. And most companies will do or should do some kind of either an on-site estimate so that you know exactly in writing how much something costs. Or if they don't do on-site estimates, we do something that are called virtual estimates, where we will walk through with our software, and a person will walk with you through your home and FaceTime with them or what have you, and show you everything, so that then at the end of that conversation, you'll be sent a firm binding price for the cost of your move. So you don't have any surprises. So I would highly recommend getting a virtual or a written estimate, or an on-site estimate, prior to making your move.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm going to be calling a mover right after this call.
Thank you. I'm sorry we're not there to help you. I'd love
to
do that.
I was like, ah, that's so annoying. I mean, maybe you'll come over. No, you won't come over.
I'd like
Thank
that.
You. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if our listeners want to find out more about you, maybe they're based in the US and they can, you know, maybe contact you and use your services. If not, just use the, you know, sources you've provided on your website. Where can they find you?
So we have our website is at northstarmoving.com, and we are also on Instagram at northstarmoving, or Facebook or Twitter. But we have lots of things that I think your viewers will be able to use on our website. We have packing tips and packing material tips and checklists and calendars on how to organize your move, and tips of videos on what to pack that first night, all these kind of helpful. It's quite in-depth website. We're very proud of it.
Thank you so much. I think that this conversation was just the tip of the iceberg, and I'm going to be learning a lot more on your website. And you'll find all of these resources on our show notes. So have a look there as well. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriella Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.